We got a great show coming up for you today on It's Rotary 6040. All kinds of news on polio, a little tidbit on the international conference going on in Bangkok, that and more coming up next. This is It's Rotary 6040. Fresh, positive news. Brought to you by Audible.com and Stitcher Smart Radio. Episode number 26, Facing the Book. More than 5,200 people in 23 countries swam at least 100 yards at the same time during a swimmarathon on the 25th of February, raising over $70,000 for Rotary's Polio Challenge. Sponsored by the Rotary Club of Grantham in England, the event drew the support of 120 Rotary, Rotaract, Interact, Early Act, and Interwheel clubs and set a new Guinness World Record for the most people swimming simultaneously in different countries, breaking the previous mark of 2,533. Now, a quick update there, and this is directly from Rotary.org. Actually, since then and now, since the time they posted this article and today, they're over the $100,000 mark. I don't know how far over, probably just by a few dollars, but they are over the $100,000 mark. The 132 participants in Grantham began swimming at 12 at a facility they featured a live Skype link to their counterparts around the world. In Lahore, Punjab, Pakistan, 35 Rotarians, Interactors, and Friends of Rotary ages 7 to 74 took part in the event. In San Diego, California, where the local time was 4 a.m., 84 people swam in the ocean using glow sticks to navigate the pitch-black water. The Grantham Club has also sponsored swimmarathons for 22 years now to benefit a variety of causes, including polio eradication. Roger Graves, chair of the event, described it as a fun and easy way to raise money and help Rotary's drive to wipe out polio. The International Conference in Bangkok is about to kick off, and sadly, yours truly is not attending this year. I did attend last year's conference in New Orleans and had a wonderful time. We'll be trying to hook up with as many people as we can at the conference in hopes of getting the latest news from all the sessions and seminars. One of the great things about the opening of any international convention that Rotary puts on is the flag ceremony. That was one of the biggest eye-openers for me last year, where every single country that has a Rotary Club in it is featured. This takes a long time to go through, as there are quite a few countries, just about every single one on the face of the planet. We'll have someone there with a flag during that flag event, all coming in a procession, one after another after another. It's a beautiful thing to see. Coming up on the 18th of this month as well, our very own district, District 6040, kicks off its district conference. And if you couldn't tell, this is the month for conferences in Rotary. Just about every district around the world, zone-wise and not, even with the international conference going on this month, is going to be having their district conference this month as well. You can follow along with all the updates from our district conference at facebook.com/Rotary6040. That, of course, is our Facebook page. And you'll want to especially follow along on Twitter, at It's Rotary, that's the show's handle, and follow hashtag Rotary as well, as we plan to have several people tweeting about the event, breakout sessions, district numbers totaled, and so forth. If you have a Twitter account and want to increase your following, here's a great chance to connect, as all the tweets with the hashtag Rotary will be displayed on a large Twitter board for all to see, day and night, the 48 hours for the entire event. You may be asking yourself why. Well, if so, then you didn't get show number 24, where we talk about all things Twitter. How and the why, the what, the whole nine yards. Everything from starting up your very first Twitter account, how to log in, all that stuff. Be sure to catch that on show number 24 in time for the district conference coming up, as there'll be all kinds of things that you'll get involved in. More than 200 Rotarians and Friends of Rotary in Arizona traveled sections of the 800-mile Arizona Trail on foot, bicycle, and horseback to raise over $30,000 for Rotary's Polio Challenge. The project began on a World Polio Day on the 24th of October, that's last year, and ended on the 30th of April. During the event, which also celebrated Arizona's centennial as a state, Governor Jan Brewer signed a declaration proclaiming the 14th of February as End Polio Now Day in Arizona. While polio exists anywhere, no child is safe, says Rod Daniels, project co-chair and a member of the Rotary Club of Chandler, North adding that the state's Rotarians will continue seeking to rally Arizona around this historic cause. Rotarians and non-Rotarians in the United States can help support polio eradication by simply texting the word POLIO, all caps, to 90999. That'll be a $5 donation that'll show up on your next phone bill. It's as simple as that. If you want to donate $5 a month to help end polio worldwide, that's all you have to do here in the States. Text POLIO, P-O-L-I-O, all in caps, to 90999. That's an effort that's put on directly by Rotary International itself out of Evanston, Illinois. There were three very good articles on the Rotary blog post over this last week. That's blog.rotary.org. If you've not checked them out of yet, you should. This is just a great way to get an inside look at the lives of everyday people who happen to be Rotarians. This is always something in these posts, for me anyway, there's always something that I would have never thought of, like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa to raise money for polio. That's not on my to-do list. Help raise money, yes. Climb a mountain, no. But the gentleman who's been doing this now for 20 years, it's a fantastic article. You've got to check it out. Again, that's blog.rotary.org. And just so you don't think the only thing that Rotarians do is fight polio, here's another story of a fundraiser of a different kind. Recently, Dan Hall, district governor from District 6040, traveled down to the Dominican Republic to check out a hospital that was actually built over the last several years in Paradiso by several groups of Rotary clubs, not just from the northern Missouri. I think there's a few initially who started it in Pennsylvania as well. While the hospital's been in operation for a few years now, new supplies are still coming in on a regular basis, many of which are funded by Rotary clubs. In addition to the over 300 patients seen daily at the hospital, Rotary's looking into setting up a small bank for microloans. Microloans are loans of $50 to $200 that are either given out to a small group or a village to aid in economic development. And that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it does go a long way to help give a hand up. Now, one of the things in Paradiso that still astonishes me as I hear more of this stuff back from Dan and other folks who have been down there, John Duffy from the Kansas City South Rotary Club, is just the fact that that simple $50 itself, how far it can go. That's not a one-month salary in Paradiso. That's more like 6 months' salary. And so it can go an awful long way. And microloans is just one of those new things. Actually, it's not that new. Rotary's been doing microloans now for quite some time. But it's another one of those tools that we have in our arsenal to combat poverty worldwide. Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free 30-day trial by clicking on the link on the site, itsrotary.com. That link is audibletrial.com/itsrotary. You're just in time to sign up, get your first free audiobook, and gift it for Mother's Day. Guys, it does not get any easier or cheaper than that. Try it out today.
My name is Simone Carrick-Collins. I'm currently a member of the Rotary Club of Freshwater Bay, which is in Perth, Western Australia, but I'm in the process of setting up a new e-club, which will be the first Rotary e-club in our district, which is 9455 in Western Australia. In terms of occupation, I am a web developer, so hence my amount of time spent online is business as well as pleasure.
Sure. It's a good way to go.
Yes.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. You were the first, now the Rotarians on Social Network Fellowship, were mm-hmm. you the first quote-unquote president of that, or how did that get started?
Yes, I was the founding chair of it. I was previously in the Rotarians on the Internet Fellowship on their board, and as part of the Rotarians on the Internet, a few of us, we're trying to enthuse people there about social media because that was very much an email-based fellowship. All of the discussions took place on Yahoo groups. And one of the members did set up a Facebook group and said, look, some of us are on Facebook, why don't we also use Facebook? And there was an enormous backlash, which was a bit surprising, really quite negative of the people in there who, at that point, you would consider to be the more technically minded of Rotarians to be involved there, had a huge misconception about the privacy problems with Facebook, and they just didn't want to know about it. So that surprised me, and I thought, look, there's a bigger issue here, that if the more technically minded Rotarians are so misinformed about social media, then there's a much bigger task ahead of getting out and educating Rotarians as a whole about social media and what it is, what it isn't, and how safe it is to use it, and how to safely use it. So a few of us, there were three of us in the end who were all part of that fellowship, got together and started brainstorming, well, what would we do in a fellowship that's primarily aimed at social media and how to safely and effectively use it? And so we went ahead and set it up, got everything running, and took a little while to get officially approved because there was that concern of, well, surely what you do overlaps with existing groups like Rotarians on the Internet and International Computer Users Fellowship. So it took a bit of work to convince the board of Rotary International that no, the others weren't in this area and that it was a gap that needed to be filled. And we eventually got there, and now we're one of the biggest fellowships in Rotary, which is very pleasing.
Yeah, I have to say it is. When did that get started then? I mean, when did all that process, 2-3 years ago then?
Yes, yeah, we started in, I think it's 2009. At the beginning of 2009, and it wasn't until June 2010 when became official. So there was certainly a good year and a half between initial discussions and putting the framework in place to actually being able to call ourselves an official fellowship.
And what do you think is, I mean, if that's, from your opinion, that being probably one of the biggest things that was pulling people back, the security side of it and just them not knowing or having a misconception of it, do you think that's what it is at large throughout Rotary, why it's been so slow to adopt?
Yes, I think so. I've spoken at a number of clubs in my own district in particular where when I've just had a 20-minute guest speaker slot about social media, there's usually been several quite vocal people who've stood up at the end and absolutely rubbished it of stories they've heard about the privacy issues and people being bullied and being quite negative about it. And I found that there has been quite a lot of that as I've gone around to different clubs, and just how passionate they are against social media has been quite astonishing, even when I stood up and sort of tried to counter it and show, no, there are ways around all of the things that they've discussed. And a lot of it just is a matter of not knowing about the privacy settings and not knowing that you can effectively make yourself invisible if you want to, that you can disable account even temporarily. And, of course, it hasn't helped at the times that Facebook has got in the news with little faux pas that it's made with things like Beacon or other things. So I think that's the main time they've heard about Facebook in the media has usually been some issue with the privacy. So that's what they've latched onto. And, oh, well, any time we hear about Facebook, it's a negative, rather than actually hearing positive stories come out of it.
You know, I find that interesting because one of the biggest, and it's just my club that I have this perspective on, but in my club, the few people who are very negative as far as getting on it, they're not really being negative when they say they don't want to get on it. What they're worried about is it's sucking all their time out of their day.
Yeah.
As in they think it's some kind of a trap they can fall into and can't get back out of again. That's more of what their biggest concern is, more than anything else, which is understandable as well.
Yes.
Everybody only has so much time in the day.
That's true.
But, okay, so let's move on from that then, and let's talk about Facebook itself and those who are using it effectively. Mm-hmm. I know you guys there in your district seem to be, from my perspective, on the outside looking in, I would say you guys are doing a fabulous job on the district level in any way, from where I can see, of your use of Facebook. Tell me how you've managed to get it's what seems like a lot of people on board with that.
Well, that's again been a lot of work over the past year with the educational side of things. Initially, there was quite a lot of resistance, so I have gone and spoken to a number of clubs, and I've been to the last three president-elect training seminars, the first time as an incoming president, the last two as an assistant governor. And at each of those, I've stood up and said, look, you know, I'm involved in this social networking fellowship. If you want any help with social networking, if you would like a speaker, I'm available. And some clubs have certainly taken that on board. And we've also had a joint district event between my district, which is the majority of our state, and also another district to the south, which makes up the rest of Western Australia. We had a half-day Facebook seminar, and we attracted a full house of over 140 Rotarians and Rotaractors, where we went through the basics, really, of Facebook and how to use it and how to set their settings. And since that, people have been a lot more willing to give it a try. So it's really been a lot of education, a lot of training. We've now had sessions at the most recent PETs at the District Assembly, as well as these workshops. So I've been finding people a lot more receptive to it and starting to see what they can do with it. So a current district governor had asked me to set up a Facebook page for our district, which we did, and there's now four of us. Our district secretary has just come on board as an administrator as well, and I found that's made quite a big difference as well, with having the district governor as one of the admins, our district secretary as an admin, myself and another Rotarian. We've been able to post a variety of things, so it's not reliant on one person.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the struggles I have now. Our district itself is basically ran and administered by me. On top of everything else that I do, it's kind of hard to keep a constant drumbeat of content on the page itself. So that can be a challenge for anybody.
That's right. And plus it means that we can then tap into each of our individual networks. So I've got my own network of my Rotarian and Rotaract friends and the others, particularly the district secretary now. Once he's the most recent one to come on board after our district conference, when he wanted to post some photos, and he said, how do I do it? I said, look, I'll make you an admin. And that's worked wonders, because with him then posting all the photos that were taken at our district conference, and then he was able to tag the people that he had, and the rest of us have been able to tag the people. And so more people have found out about the page, and it snowballed from there. So I think that's a really good way to go, is to share the load, and then also that shares your networks as well. And it's much better than trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have the district's Facebook page, I have my club's Facebook page, and I have the Rotaract Club we started earlier this year's Facebook page that I administer all three of. So it's you can get stretched out pretty fast doing those kinds of things. So So on top of having a couple of different people posting content, what kind of guidelines do you guys use as far as the kind of content you want to see posted at the district level, or do you have any?
We don't have anything written down, which is something that I'm quite conscious of now that we do have more people, because initially it was primarily me doing the posting, there wasn't so much of a need. But now that we are bringing in other people, I'm very conscious of the fact that we do need to perhaps sit down and draw up some guidelines of, you know, who is going to do some posting, what sorts of things are we going to post, I guess, what sort of voice are you going to use for it? You know, how obvious is it going to be which admin is posting at this point in time by the choice of wording or things that they use? So I think that's a very good idea. I've also found that without that, we have had other Facebook pages pop up that we've not known about. It really is good to have some sort of strategy at the top level of, we now have a page that's been set up purely for the district conference, which I discovered after the district conference had been. And, you know, we've been promoting the district conference on our Facebook page, and we've got a particular tab that I'd set up as that was the way we were promoting the conference, and I have no idea who's actually administering this district conference page. So I think once you get to the district level, there really needs to be that consistency of well, how are we going to promote it? Are we going to spread it over events and groups and multiple pages, or are we going to focus on one and be clear about, well, if it's conference things, it goes on that page and we use a tab, or are we going to do it on a separate? Then you've got to try and build up your audience on both. So I think
that gets a little diluted in my mind. I would think you'd want to have just the Facebook page itself have events.
Yes.
On that page, yes. And you can have your separate discussions within the page itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think there are perhaps conference committees who, rather than approaching the page and discussing, well, how are we going to do this, are just, because it is so easy to race off and create a new page.
It is.
There isn't really that thought of, well, is this the correct way to do it? You know, what about audience? They're now having to promote on the district page. We've now got this other page, come and like us. So, yes, there really does need to be these days, I think, some sort of social media committee, or at the very least the discussion at a district PR committee about just, you know, what is going to be done with social media and who's going to drive it, and rather than just blindly going off and creating new pages, to actually sit down and say, look, is this in the best interest for promoting what we want to promote, or should we use our existing pages and encourage those people, or even give them admin access if that's going to help.
Yeah.
Give them admin access, but then it's quite clear that they are going to be the ones that are posting about the conference.
Do you have someone at the district level who oversees the marketing of the district level itself, or the marketing of Rotary at the district level itself?
We do. We do have a PR director who currently has been quite anti-social media, but we're going to have a different one next year who is a bit younger, and he works in marketing, and social media is a part of what he does in his day-to-day business. So there's going to be a lot more awareness next year about integrating the whole lot rather than a focus on get media releases out to newspapers. That's your strategy for raising the profile of Rotary.
Yeah, one of the things that I've tried to convince people of is that the whole social media aspect of it isn't something that has to be treated like a separate animal. It needs to be integrated into the marketing itself. It needs to be integrated into all the other things that you're currently doing. You know, it's not its own separate standalone thing. It does need to be intertwined into everything, every facet of what you do. Which is a difficult thing to do, especially when you're still dealing with quite a few people who are technically challenged.
Yes, so, that's right.
I still have plenty of people in my own club who keep asking me week after week, okay, now how do I find the podcast? How do I get online and see where it's at or listen to it? It's always fascinating to hear those conversations. And these are of people who, you know, from the outside looking in, again, not to judge anybody, but from the outside looking in, these are business owners. These are people you would kind of expect to be somewhat computer savvy. I always find that kind of funny.
Yes, that's very true. And it's like with email. You know, I remember when I was at university, email sort of came in, and it was the science and IT students, engineering students, who had email accounts, and you had to specifically go and request an email account. So the only people you were emailing were other students, and I could get away with not checking my email for 3 months at a time, because if I did log in, there might be one email from a friend that was just a, hi, how are you going?
Yeah.
We've all had to adapt to using email and having to use it regularly, and it has been a learning curve for people, and social media is going to be exactly the same. I mean, it is exactly the same now.
It is.
It's well established. Some of them have been around for a good 10 or so years.
Right.
Even, you know, the Facebook has been around for a very long time now. It's not a new thing.
Nope.
So it is a matter of giving it that same priority and saying, look, it is here to stay. It is a very important communication medium, and it's important to learn how to use it. And if that's going to take training in the workplace, then it's just going to have to be done. All those businesses will be left behind.
Yeah, exactly. It's every day it's basically a new economy out there, and you've got to keep up with it one way or the other. So
that's right.
So let's talk about that then, as far as Facebook, proper uses of it. Let's go down to the club level. Obviously, you don't want people in groups. They need to have a page, not a group. That's my opinion. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Good. So then from that, moving into looking at the page itself and how people should, what are your thoughts on that as far as how a club should use a Facebook page, just your general thoughts?
Well, my thoughts thoughts of that are it's really to showcase your club and the people in it and what you do. So it's a great opportunity for not talking general terms about Rotary, but very specific terms about what it is your own club does and who makes up that club. So it's very much a way of personalising your club. So the sorts of things that I like to do are mention any projects that are happening. It's particularly beneficial to show photos of projects and the Rotarians doing the projects, preferably not just handing over a cheque to another organisation, but the actual outcomes of the project so you can see, oh, this is what Rotary does. I also like to have photos, with permission, of course, whenever we induct new members.
Yes.
So
yes.
That we can show, look, we've got some new people coming into the club and you know they're all different nationalities and ages, to try and dispel that myth that still abounds over here that Rotary is largely for older men.
Yeah. We still have a few of those kinds of issues here in northern Missouri as well, so unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
another good thing.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing that we use a lot are the events. If you've got events that the general public are welcome to come along to, like if we have a quiz night, a trivia night, a movie night, or something where you do want other people to come, I found the event functionality a great way to get sort of friends and family to come along.
Sure.
Whereas if you're just sending an email, you'd probably be a bit more selective about how many people you emailed out an invitation. But with Facebook, I still would keep it to people who at least live in the city. I wouldn't be sending it to people who had no chance of being able to go. But without putting that judgment of, oh, would they be interested or not, I've been pleasantly surprised that some friends that I probably wouldn't have contacted any other way who've come along to activities
Right. Because
of that Facebook event invitation. And when they've come and said, oh, well, what else does Rotary do? And it's been a great way to open the door for the conversation about just what it is that we do.
Yeah, it always comes back to that, doesn't it? It's just as simple as simply asking someone. And nine times out of ten, you're going to get a yes as far as, do you want to come to a Rotary Club meeting? And just come to a meeting and see what it's about. Same thing with the events, you know.
Mm.
If the event's done right, it's going to be an engaging experience for anybody, Rotarian and non-Rotarian.
Yes.
How important do you think it is that, as far as, back to the club level again, how important do you think it is to have a majority, if not all, of your club members on Facebook and somehow talking or spreading the word? How much importance do you put on that?
I think it's vital these days, just in terms of people being able to find out what is going on in the club. It surprises me as I've gone from club to club to hear how many people say, I'm not even sure what projects our own club does. I think that's really sad.
Yeah.
If they don't know what their own club is doing, you can't possibly communicate that to other people. So I think as a first step, it's very important for them to be there so they can see what it is the club is doing if they're not communicating that in any other way in the club. But then with their own networks, using their own Facebook profiles, again, it's that personal touch of just being able to talk about, look, this is what I do in Rotary. And people go, oh, I didn't know you were in Rotary. I thought that was for men.
Yeah.
And being able to, again, see what it is you do. If you talk about the sorts of things that you have been to that are coming up and how enjoyable they are, it again opens the door for, oh, that sounds interesting. How can I be a part of it? So it's a very non-invasive way to start up the conversations by just putting it out there. And then people can, if they want, just contribute as they have time and ask questions and find out things that they wouldn't otherwise have known about you. If it's not something that you would just normally bring up in conversation with other friends, it's a great way for them to see, oh, there's a few other things that you do as well, and here's what they are and how interesting they can be.
Yeah, I know. It's another thought that just occurred to me too. There's a lot of times when people are not going to ask a question face-to-face with someone because they're afraid they're going to look silly. Or they're afraid they're going to have that, you didn't know that? How could you not know that? But when you're online and you're on Facebook and you see those discussions going on, it occurs to me that it's very easy for them to get those answers without having to look silly for asking a question, which is kind of what was going on Facebook this evening as well. So. But at any rate, no, those are all excellent points. That's one of the things I struggle with here as well, not only on the district level, but in my club, too. There's several people who I wish would be a little bit more engaged online and on Facebook. I know that they would bring a lot to the table. And,
yes.
You know, we've got about 5 or 6 new members this year who probably have that same thought in their head, too. What exactly does this club all do? Because every week, from Friday to Friday, we're talking about some new project, and it's hard for them to figure out, okay, is that a project we're doing, or is that a project we're just joining in that someone else is doing? It's hard for them to differentiate the two. And I'd imagine if it's hard for them, it's got to be hard for the public at large as well.
Yes, that's right. And something that occurred to me the other day was, although websites, again, have been around for many, many years, not all clubs have adopted websites.
No,
because
there is
quite a larger time investment and even skill level required to be able to put together a professional-looking website and keep it up to date.
Yeah.
But at least with Facebook in particular, you're able to get that information out there and have it look professional without quite those skills required. So it's so much easier to contribute the information without having to send it, say, to a central webmaster or somebody who's then got to find the time to be the one person to curate all the information and get it up. So I think that's really made it a lot easier for clubs with a little bit of training to start off, get them up and running, to then be able to put that information on and all contribute, depending on what projects and events they're involved with, to help put that information together so that everybody can see just what is going on.
Do you think it's still vital for clubs to have a website as well still? I mean, to still have that old website itself?
I think where clubs already have one, that it is important to keep it up, both from being able to be found in search engines. That's very important.
Yeah.
There is a lot of other information that you can put up statically that, with, I guess, Facebook in particular, you put up something and then if something new comes on, it filters down. And while you can put a certain amount of sort of static information in the tabs, with the recent change to timeline, again, those aren't quite as prominent as they used to be. So certainly websites are important. They do play a slightly different role. But where clubs don't have a website currently, I would almost be inclined to say, look, we'll just forget it and stick with Facebook and put your effort into that. When that's working, if you have the time to maintain a website as well, then certainly look at it. But if you've got nothing, it's better to at least get started with social media. And then if they're comfortable with that and can see what you do with that, then by all means, look at websites.
Let me give you my quick little breakdown of all things internet that I think clubs should look at and then get your thoughts on it. And maybe this will, maybe you'll agree with this and still want to get rid of websites. I don't know. But the website is kind of, to me, that's where it all starts from. It does need to be kind of a static site that generally lays out the who, what, where, when, and why of the club itself. It doesn't need to have any more than that. Kind of like the 5 W's of journalism, you know, the who, what, where, when, and why. And then from that, on Facebook, that's where you need to be talking about your events before they come up, sharing those events before they come up with as many people as possible, and discuss them before they happen. And then Twitter is when you actually have discussions the day of those events to engage people that are either there or couldn't make it or are not there yet, but may need that little bit of more encouragement to come. And that's how I would use the three things together. That's kind of what I tell clubs. What's your thoughts on that? Do you have a different approach?
No, I would agree entirely with that. So you do need to have people who are able to actively keep up all of those things. I can, in the case of my club is only sort of 3 coming up on 4 years old.
Ah.
And it's been me primarily to start off with, and there was only so much time in my day to be able to keep up everything. So
you
for
bet.
The first 2 years, I maintained a Facebook page, and I just redirected our domain name to the Facebook page.
Oh, and well, yeah, that's a good way to do it.
After a while, we were getting the feedback that, well, we'd like to be able to contact the secretary or the president, and we don't know how to. So I did set up a very, very basic website for the club, which was, as you said, the, you know, who are we, what do we do, and how can you contact us? And I kept it to the very minimum of a little bit of basic information about Rotary in general, where we fit into the bigger picture, how to contact us, and then our main projects, and I've left it at that. then the other updates tend to happen on the Facebook and the Twitter. But for the general overview about us, then we do have the website, and that seems to have worked very well, and I certainly agree that that's a great way to go. But you do need those resources, and once we started getting a few more people that were able to contribute, then it was a lot easier to then start handing out, okay, well, look, you look after the Facebook page and you look after the website, so it's not reliant on one person.
You know, another reason that that's kind of a great way to go and great way to look at it as far as the website's concerned is it means you're not spending very much money, if any at all, when you go to the Club Runner style, which seems to be very deeply ingrained in Missouri. You're getting into some serious expense per year, and that's just wasted money in my mind.
Mm.
Have you had to deal with Club Runner yet?
I haven't. I do know that some of the clubs in the other district have used it. We do have a sort of a website set up that's been custom built by one of the Rotarians in my district, which maybe about a third of the clubs are using. But certainly for ones that I've been setting up in recent years, it's been using WordPress, which found is quite intuitive, and you can go down a route where if you host it on WordPress.com, you don't have to pay anything, though then you've got your limitations in terms of, I guess, choice of templates and how much you can customize it yourself.
Sure.
But that can even be a good way to get started, and you could always move to something a bit more once you're confident with using that. But I've certainly been encouraging clubs to look at things like WordPress because there is little to no cost involved, and in most cases also not too much time required to get up to speed with how to use it all.
Yeah, another great thing about that too is when you're using something like WordPress or even Squarespace, you can do your updates from your phone, from your iPad, right during a club meeting while someone's talking, and you can take down notes. And so it's not something you have to go to a computer in front of it, you know, sit down and log in and do the whole FTP thing, and all that's all gone when you switch to a system like that. So that's a very good point. I haven't really told anybody or talked to anybody around here about WordPress yet because that's hard enough to get through on the Facebook side of things. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, hey, if you ever have any stories or anything that comes up, anything that you think would be of interest, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'll try to use it on the show.
Will do. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Simone. You have a good one.
You too.
Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Thanks again to Simone for taking time out of her day there in Perth, Australia, to talk with us a little bit about Facebook and all things social media. If you didn't catch it there at the beginning of the interview, she talked about two things that you may or may not be aware of. The first being e-clubs. This is a relatively new thing going on in Rotary, where you don't necessarily have a club that has a meeting location week to week, a physical address, if you will. Instead, this is an e-club, which meets online only, and does so on a weekly basis, but all online, whether that's on Facebook, Google Hangouts, whatnot. Honestly, I don't know how those work. I have not seen or joined one yet. So we're going to be catching up with someone again in the future to talk a little bit about that, how that is going down, how that works, to be more specific. Very interesting. The second thing you might not have caught there, or you might have caught and not understood what we were talking about, was one of the fellowships we discussed, which was the Rotarians on Social Networks Fellowships. Now, Rotary has a long-standing tradition of having what we call fellowships in Rotary. These are people with like-minded interests that come together. They're Rotarians already, so we do have some tendencies to think about things in a certain way. But with that, we kind of have other interests, whether it be sports cars, enthusiasts for Mac users, enthusiasts for Linux users. There used to be a Rotary Fellowship for Computer Enthusiasts. This was developed back in the late 70s, so it's been around for quite some time. This one, though, that we've been talking about is the Rotarians on Social Network Fellowships. These are people who all want to try to use social media to promote the cause of Rotary itself and all the different fundraisers that we do for the different charities that we try to sponsor. And this is just one of those collectives. You can find it online at rosnf.org. Or you can also find it as a group on Facebook if you just search for rosnf. Well, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments or feedback from the show, please feel free to put those up on the website, itsrotary.com. You can also find us on Facebook at it's on facebook.com/rotary6040. And you can also email me anytime you want at cwaldo@me.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tune in next week as we'll have some news from the International Conference in Bangkok.